I'm Mike Nowitzki, and this is live from Studio A. Today, we are joined by a group out of the Twin Cities called Warehouse Eyes. It's a two-person electronica project. It's been, I've only lived in Duluth since about 2007, so I'm not sure if there was an electronic music scene here before that. But since then, there's been a little bit of a resurgence. You could argue maybe with people like Tim Kaiser, people like Mark Gartman's Fever Dream project, perhaps Bratwurst. But it's something, and more recently, Ingeborg von Agassi, who's going to be performing with them tonight at the Red Herring Lounge. But it's something that Duluth is slowly but surely becoming integrated with. So Warehouse Eyes is here. It is Chris Williams and Jenny Lawless from the Twin Cities. But why don't we get started with a tune?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
This one's called I Think I Can Live With It.
That's Warehouse Eyes live from Studio A, a tune called I Think I Can Live With It. Now, which project is that off of? I know you guys have two EPs. Is that off the more recent of
yes.
the two?
That one's off Prisms, which we just released in July of last year.
Okay. And you had one before that, Carvings, from 2014. Are those kind of similar? Was there a big difference between...
Yeah, those are pretty different, including different personnel playing with us. We had mostly a new drummer and new guitar player for the new EP. And the sound is pretty different. It's a little bit more energetic, less ballady, less... I guess brooding overall.
Maybe 50% less brooding.
50% less brooding. Sure. Yep.
So there are sometimes additional members to this to this group.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, we almost exclusively tour as two, but usually when we play like in Minneapolis, there's five of us.
Okay. Because they live down there, and it's easy for them to come out to those shows.
Yeah, it's just that, I mean, at this stage in our career, it's really very nice that we can travel as two, because we can pack all our stuff in a Subaru and go around.
Right.
We're doing an East Coast tour in a couple months, and it's just heck of a lot cheaper to do that.
Yeah. Well, and with electronic instruments, you can fill a room with sound with only two people.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun putting these together, because I kind of become both the piano player and the guitar player in this iteration.
Yeah.
And that's fun for me.
So, Jenny, you have a classical music background.
Yeah.
You studied in Vienna. You were into opera for a minute.
For a minute, yeah.
1 minute.
I was never a huge fan of opera. I liked art song better, which is a different version of classical voice. But I was a soprano, which you sometimes can hear inklings of when I sing in my higher range. But I kind of went to music school because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And I always kind of felt like a misfit while I was in school, and knew pretty quickly, like, going to Vienna made me realize I did not want to sing classically. And I'd always wanted to have a band. I did little projects on the side in college, but they never got serious. Vienna kind of was, like, the deciding factor. Like, not for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And... Chris, you had a band or maybe several bands before this project whose sound was quite a bit different.
Yeah, very, very different. Actually, I've been done an in-studio here at KUMD one other time with this band called The Big Strong Men. And that band toured for like a couple of years, but it was just drastically different. It was like I graduated from college and was like, oh, I guess me and my friend Ben, who'd always played music together, are going to make a band. And it sort of ended up being this kind of like alt-country sort of sound. And in the midst of that band existing, I really got deep into electronic stuff. And when that was over and Jenny moved here, or moved to Minneapolis, we just like went all the way down that route. I grew up playing piano, but I pretty much don't really play piano anymore. I'm more just...
You're a programmer now.
Yeah, I'm a programmer.
So, and you heard some of the music that he had been doing with his other band. I'm talking about this because I read a different interview that you guys had done. I think it was with City Pages or something.
The City Pages
context. But you weren't a fan right away. You were like, And Chris says it took me a year to convince Jenny that it was, going to be a good idea to do this project with me. How did you do that convincing, Chris?
It was actually just one. It was one song. It was like I actually did this. I guess you'd call it an artist residency. I stayed like for a month alone in a mansion in Red Wing, and when I came back from that, like the first song I wrote there, I played for Jenny, and she was sort of like, "Oh, okay." Like before that, anytime I'd ever tried to short a song, she sort of half ignored me.
I tried to be nice.
But it was really that song. It was a moment. I remember I played it for you in a practice room in Cedar Rapids. And I don't have no idea why we were there.
I don't remember.
I'm not going
to
say something mean.
Cedar Rapids is a lovely town. It has many
great
smells.
Great town. City of five seasons.
Good. Well, let's do another song, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This next one is called Without You or Me. And we just are finishing up... recording this as a single, so we should be releasing that within a month.
reached out, the hand was short and it was yours. Blocking out the sun, you flinched but didn't run. You knew not to ask me how I'd come. Stepped out of the line, I broke but didn't fight. I hoped you wouldn't see what was inside. Turned me into stone, you took me as your own. I fell. With just bone. Without you, where would this love go? Without me, where would our love go? To the stars.
Warehouse Eyes, live from Studio A. Now, when I listen to that music, I hear a lot of, like, I think of Fantagram and I think of Polisa and, you know, a lot of the sort of contemporary, even, like, I hear some, like, Sharon Van Etten, like, in your voice, but that's just me. Who are some of your musical influences?
Well, I take all of that as a huge compliment, so thanks. Yeah, I actually didn't discover Sharon Van Etten until, like, a couple years ago, and I'm mad that I didn't. Musical influences vocally or just overall in our sound?
Yeah, overall in the sound, because I'm wondering, it's not, this is sort of an unusual session that we're having, you know, it's not all the time that we get like sort of these electronic setups, you know, a lot of times in here you're going to get like somebody with an acoustic guitar, like a few guys with banjos, and it's sort of a sit down thing and you listen to the song and you know sort of where a lot of that inspiration comes from. But when it's this more set up, sort of a more orchestrated, almost more fussed over music that you can tell someone took a lot of time to produce. It's like, what is the underlying inspiration for a lot of
this
music?
It's totally fussed over. You got that right. But I think this is kind of the result of two keyboard players getting together and wanting to start a band. I didn't really play any other instruments. Voice is my main instrument, but I can play keys. I prefer to play as little as possible when I perform. So I think electronically, I mean, like, since the beginning of Radiohead making electronic music, that's, like, been my electronic influence. But we, lyrically, are inspired by a lot of what you would find surprising artists. Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan, even Patti Smith, not musically but lyrically. Maybe more for poetry. John Darnielle from the Mountain Goats.
Occasionally, like, we talk about that, about sort of melding, like, that sort of, you used some great words there, fussed over, orchestrated, like, just really, like, that song especially is like really just like cut up parts, be like, okay, this thing goes here and that's the only time it's going to happen in the song,
right.
And we do a lot of that kind of, but sort of combining that with really, in some ways, like, traditional song structures. Like, we still want to make sure we're always writing songs, whatever that means.
And we talk about songs a lot, but we still don't exactly know what songs are. It's just one of those things that you know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's, I guess more specifically, like, electronic stuff, maybe the thing to reference would be, like, occasionally, you know, talking about stuff in rehearsal, we bands come up. Actually, the main Duluth band in our eyes comes
Low.
Up all the time. We talk about Low a lot in terms of how we think about lots of, especially parts, you know, talking about, like,
Low,
well, what should the guitar
us, like,
do here? What should, what happens here? We definitely think a lot about bands we admire, like Low, and like Halloween Alaska comes up a decent amount too.
Even like newer people like FKA Twigs, Beach House, I've been listening to since like 2006.
Sure.
And so I think in the back of my head, there's a lot of Beach House influence with, like, the synth tones that I prefer and, like, the very simplistic, like, drum machine elements. I know a lot of it you're hearing today is not totally simplistic because it's inspired by a lot of what our live drummer does. But we still have a lot of preference toward minimalism, I think.
Sure.
Or I do. Maybe that's just me.
Maybe
that's
like
my
10%.
Solo project that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. Well, the music is just so far removed from your, you know, your sort of sit down with a guitar and sing and stream of consciousness. No, it is a little weird to hear you guys say that some of your influences are people like Leonard Cohen or Patti Smith or Bob Dylan. And when I read that in one of your other interviews, I was like, well, that has to be a typo, or you yeah. heard that wrong or whatever. But the name Warehouse Eyes
is from a Bob Dylan song, yeah. From Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands.
Yeah. What is it that made you, how did you feel so strongly about that song that, I guess I'm, of all the Bob Dylan lyrics out there.
Yeah.
Of all the Bob Dylan lyrics.
Partially.
It's a favorite of ours, I think, collectively.
A little bit of it relates to, like, I mean, mentioning, like Patti Smith and Leonard Cohen. There's, it's not just about Dylan. In some ways, like, we know that he wrote that song in the Chelsea Hotel, like, in, I used to know his room number, but I don't remember what it is. but for some reason, that has a lot to do with it too. Sort of just like thinking about like the artistic feeling of that time, like the late '60s in New York. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I guess it's not a direct influence, but it's more something to always think about. You know, about just surrounding yourself with creative people who are all doing different but interesting things, and sort of incorporating that into your art. Probably about half because it was Dylan. And, well, partially because we just liked the way it sounded. But the other half is the fact that the Chelsea Hotel Association.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Kind of romanticizing that era.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So is this going to be your first performance in Duluth? under this project, under the
second.
Warehouse.
Second. Yeah.
Okay.
We were at the Red Herring like 3 months ago,
No.
A year and a half ago? I don't know.
It was like a year.
Okay. But you've
maybe
been through before.
A year or so ago, yeah.
And how often, you know, is gigging a big part of what you do? Are you guys kind of studio rats or are you getting out?
No, we're not studio rats. We play a show at least once a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Where often do you play?
In the Twin Cities, we've played all over the place. Triple Rock, Ice House, Kitty Cat Club, 7th Street Entry, which is next to First Avenue. All over. We did an East Coast tour last July, and that was about 10 days. Went all the way to New York and back. And so we're going to do kind of a similar thing in March, but this time we're going to go down south to Austin first, and then over to New Orleans and Atlanta, and then up the East Coast.
Okay. And when you play in the Twin Cities, are there any artists that you find yourself sort of regularly sharing the stage with? Or
Not really.
There's a lot of artists.
Lately it's been rotating.
Yeah. There's a lot of artists who, you know, are friends and people we admire. But one of the problems with having a very a thriving music scene is that you're sort of like, well, we could play with them again. Or we could
play with someone new.
You know,
yeah.
Play with these other people. So
it's kind of a struggle to be able to play with the same band again because everybody wants to create a new experience for people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we definitely have some favorites. Even people we'll just go see shows for.
Grandma's Boyfriend would definitely be one of them.
Love Grandma's Boyfriend. We saw them in New York for CMJ Music Festival where we played as well. I love their energy. It's not like most other things in the Twin Cities or in Minnesota in general.
Yeah,
Tori's costumes are always red.
Yeah, the costumes are the best.
I had seen, you know, in college, I think I had seen Hayley Bonner, like, I don't know, 30 times or something doing, you know, the music that she had been known for the
acoustic guitar.
10 years of her career. And then I think it was 2.5 years ago, I saw Grandma's Boyfriend and just was like picking my jaw off the floor. Like, what was that?
Yeah.
Very cool. I think we have time for one more tune. What do you guys want to finish up with?
Oh, yeah. Smoke?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dream.
Warehouse Eyes, live from Studio A. Again, it's the duo of Jenny Lawless and Chris Williams. They have that's a song called Smoke from an EP, Prisms, that they put out last year. It was their second EP. And I know you guys said you were recording a single. Is there a full length we can expect sometime soon, or are we playing it by ear?
Well, hopefully this year we're thinking we're going to start recording a full length. But the single I talked about is one of two songs that we are finishing up recording right now. So I guess technically you could call that a 7-inch, but we're not actually going to press it on a record because we don't have that kind of money right now. But that would be cool. But yeah, we're just going to release those two singles as they are, maybe one at a time, but within the same general time span. And hopefully before the end of 2016, we'll have enough tracks to record.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
We've actually, in this project or other projects, I've never made a full-length record before. It's been all EPs. So
yeah,
it's kind
I
of
never
a,
have either.
A cool task to, especially with this kind of music, to start writing for that.
Sure.
Because these songs, we take way too long to make them.
Yeah, we do.
You can tell. You can tell when you listen that a lot goes into it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They have a performance tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. They're sharing the stage with local artist Ingeborg von Agassi. That would be a great person to share the stage with tonight.
Norby.
Norby, yeah, just got added
Norby
to the bill.
Norby will be there as well, last minute. Okay. Well, thank you so much for setting aside some time for us this afternoon, running the rat race to get here and set up your gear and everything. It was good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Today's Live from Studio A session was produced by Christine Dean, audio assistant Chris Harwood, web assistants Aaron Welch and Cheyenne Vavrina, video assistants Lauren Flavin and Kira Hartley, and myself, Mike Nowitzki. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.